their Bibles back to Matthew chapter 26. We are going to read Matthew 26. We'll read verses 26 to 29. Our focus this afternoon will be on verse 29. The title of our sermon is Christ Will. We continue to think that Christ is the host of our Lord's Supper. He brings us to the banqueting house. There's more to this banquet. More to be looked forward to. Matthew chapter 26, verse 26 to 29. It says the word of the Lord. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I
will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do once again this afternoon give you thanks, Lord, for your word, for you continue to show your love to us by just your written word to us, showing us, Lord, the promises that we are to hold on to, showing us the way that we are to live before your face that we might glorify you, showing us, Lord, how you have made all the preparations for your kingdom and for us to be in it. Help us, Lord, to hold on to these things. Help us to hold on to your word and trust in it and trust in you, as we have just sung. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It is not common for the host of a meal to rise up during the meal to make an announcement or give a speech of some type. If you've ever been to a wedding rehearsal dinner where all the people who are going to be in the wedding will some point, typically in our culture, they will have a dinner after that rehearsal. And then the person who is hosting that dinner will sometimes get up and give a speech about the couple that's to be married. What we see here in Matthew 26, 29 is similar to that. Jesus, the host of this meal, has instructed those who are eating with him on the menu, on the meaning of the meal, and they are eating as he has an announcement to make. And this announcement is significant to us today as we come away from the table that we have just fellowshipped at. But I want to give you a sense of what's going on at this meal, for it is different then than it is for us today. The range of emotions that these disciples have been led through in just this short little time is nothing short of amazing. They go from anticipating the joy of celebrating the deliverance of God's people from slavery to Egypt. And do you realize that that's what that meal was for? It was to remember what God had done so that they could be joyful of being delivered from slavery. But not only was that Passover meal for them, it was also pointing to the meal that we celebrated even today here. And so the disciples are with their Lord and their Master, and they are celebrating the Passover. And then they hear the disturbing and sorrowful announcement that the Lord was about to be betrayed by one of them. And so they come with joy, and now they hear this disturbing announcement that causes them great sorrow. And then they are told once again by their Lord, their Master, the Messiah, that he would be put to death. They've heard this before. They rejected it when he first told them. But here he is telling them again. And the next thing that they are to do is to eat and drink bread and wine that represents his death, his body and his shed blood. He was going to die. And we should not be thinking that they didn't know that what was going to happen quickly. Because he said, "My betrayer is with me." And then he said to the betrayer, "Do what you're going to do and do it quickly." And so he was about to be betrayed even that night. And yet his death, as he stated here, meant the fulfillment of God's covenant promise of his people being forgiven for their sins. And so they go from celebration to sorrow, to hearing about the betrayal, to even more sorrow in hearing about his death. And then they hear about the purposes of his death for the remission of sins, which should be bringing joy to them. And then now the host of the meal gets their attention as they are eating and drinking and gives them something new that they need to think about. And we need to think about it as well. Because as it was for them, it is for us, meant to give us hope, meant to confirm our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that though He was going to die and pay for our sins with His shed blood, He was going to come back again. And in that promise of Him coming back again is wrapped up the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of His people. Now the disciples, as you know, did not always understand everything that Jesus said. Right? Oftentimes Jesus would say things like, "How long do I have to be with you?" And I suspect that Jesus would say the same things to us today. How long does He have to be with us? We don't always understand everything Jesus has said either. But we do have much more explanation than they did in their time. See, they were yet, even after this event, even after this night, before Christ was crucified, they were going to be scattered because of Christ's arrest. The Scriptures predict that and prophesy that. They were yet to be discouraged after His death because they thought all hope was lost. After Jesus Christ was crucified, the disciples were hiding from the Pharisees, hiding from the Romans. And even when they came out a few days later, they were disturbed, they were disparaged, they were depressed, they were sad, because they didn't understand all that Jesus has told them. Hope was lost. And even after His resurrection, when He revealed Himself to them, some still doubted. Maybe they were not listening quite as good as they should have at this moment, at this meal. Because this announcement was made to give them hope. This announcement by Christ Jesus, their host, was made to let them know that even though things are going to look bad and seem bad in the very next few moments, I want you to know there is hope. And the hope is in Me. And the hope is in Me returning. And the hope is in Me so that you will have joy. So that you will have joy. That even though this meal represented His death for the forgiveness of sins, and even though this is the Last Supper that, as we know it, as people talk about it, that He will eat with them on earth, there is to be another supper, a new supper that He will eat with them in the future. Every time we come to the Lord's table, we echo this announcement. We are proclaiming the Lord's death till when? Until He comes. And what is He going to do when He comes? He is going to have another supper with us. And so when we have the Lord's Supper, we are not celebrating the Last Supper. We are celebrating the new supper that has come to us and that will come to us in the future. And so this announcement, as He stands and speaks to the disciples as they were eating, was intended to bring assurance, comfort, and joy in a time when these disciples, no doubt, were probably as confused and scared and wondering what's going to happen. We can say that because of how they reacted during Jesus' arrest. This announcement was made to give them hope in a difficult time. And there are three parts to this announcement from the host Jesus Christ that I would like to present to you. First, there is the contrasting introduction where Jesus says, "But I say to you." Second, there is the declaration of His absence from this current supper. And thirdly, there is the declaration of His presence at the new supper. First, let us see the contrasting introduction of our host, Christ Jesus, when He says, during the meal, "But I say to you." What is Jesus making a contrast to? Why does He say, "But I say to you"? I would say to you that He is contrasting the whole meal and what it represents. And we must remember that this meal represents the death of the host. The death of the one who is standing there talking to them. The one who is blessing them with this meal. This contrast that He is making to them contrasts that whole thing. When he gave them the meal, he was saying, I'm going to be killed, and this bread and wine represent the breaking of my body and the shedding of my blood. That's what he told them. And as we look back at this event in time, with all the biblical information before us, and having been given the Spirit of God to teach us what Jesus meant, we are not in the same setting as these disciples were. We are not about to see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to be crucified before our eyes. That's happened in the past. We were not just celebrating the Passover and then hear about a betrayal, that one of us would betray him. And so they needed this message. But so do we. So as we look back at this event in time, though we are not in the same setting as the disciples, we do know that he told them before this that he would be killed, and they didn't accept it. When Jesus clearly told the disciples that he would be put to death, what did Peter say? My Lord, this shall never happen to you. So they are probably in a different mindset than we are here today. They have just been told again that he is going to die, and not only that, now they have been given a sign to confirm that, to strengthen that message, a meal to remember this coming death. It's a little more concrete now. It's a little closer to home. When Jesus said to the disciples earlier on, there's coming a day when I will be crucified. They didn't even receive that. But there wasn't this immediate sense. And this meal here, in this evening, the sense of Jesus Christ coming and being put to death is immediate. It's going to happen now. This was the mindset that Jesus was portraying, or Jesus was presenting to them. This is the condition they were in. And when Jesus says, but I say to you, he is saying, even though I'm going to die, and even though my blood is going to be poured out and shed for the remission of sins, but I say to you, he is setting up a great contrasting statement meant to get them through this time of suffering and sorrow and his death and the upcoming suffering and death of them. They too would die for Christ. Jesus was saying, yes, I am going to die, and this meal is to commemorate my death, but I say to you. And in just these five little words are great power and assurance. Jesus says, I say to you. I am the one who is saying this to you. I who have been teaching you these last 3 years of what God is going to be doing. I who have performed great miracles which attest to my divinity and my approval from God, I, the one whom heaven has showed you that I am the Son of the living God, the Messiah, the Savior, I, the one of whom God said, this is my beloved Son, hear him. I am speaking to you, and I am telling you this, and you can be assured that it is true. All these years of Jesus' life before the disciples, he was proving to them that he was, in fact, the Son of God. Everything he did was to demonstrate to them that he was the Son of God. And now he speaks to them this way, with this credibility, and he says to them, I am saying this to you disciples, to us, his disciples, to those who sat at that table with him, and to us who sat at this table this morning. Jesus is assuring us, just as he did then, that everybody who sat at this table can believe what he is about to say because of who he is. I, the Son of God, say to you, my disciples. And this should cause us to listen. It should cause us to listen and to believe what is being said. And what is being said here? What is this great announcement by the host of this meal? Well, the first part of this great announcement is our second point, and we see here that there is the declaration of his absence. In the next phrase of this verse here, in verse 29, Jesus says, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on. I'm going away. Again, here is another statement that no doubt is tugging on the emotions of the disciples. They've already been told this once before. Jesus has already said, there'll come a day when I am going away. And so here he's declaring his absence. I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on. Well, the disciples were wont to often say, what does Jesus mean by this? And so we should ask the same question, what did he mean by that? Well, he means a few things in this statement. This is another thing that he has already told them, like I said, on several occasions. It is another thing that is discouraging to them because they did not listen well. First, he means he is going away. He's not going to be here. I want you to imagine if somebody you have grown so close to, somebody you have left houses and fathers and mothers for and followed around the land for 3 years and put your hope in, is now telling you, I'm going away. I'll not be here. I'll not be here in the sense that you know me now. In John chapter 16, verses 16 to 18, John records a conversation between Jesus and his disciples. It is about him going away, and he says this, Jesus said, a little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, what is this that he says to us, a little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me? We see the confusion that they have here. And because I go to the Father, they said, therefore, what is this that he says, a little while? We don't know what he's saying. Well, the little while that Jesus spoke to them then was now upon them. He was going away to the Father after his death, and his going away would cause them sorrow. Even though it was to their advantage, as he would say back there in John 16, he should go away because in his going away, then he and the Father would send the Holy Spirit to them. And yet the disciples were often so wrapped up in the physical presence of things, so wrapped up in what they could see with their physical eyes, that they couldn't see all that Jesus was doing, all that the Father was doing, because Jesus was so wonderful to them, because he was of such great love towards them that they could not imagine, and they could not see how it could ever be an advantage for him to go away. But this was God's plan. This is part of the working of the triune God, each person in the Trinity doing their work and the bringing in of the kingdom of God. Jesus would no longer be there in person to eat and drink with them this meal. He would be with them in his spirit that he and the Father would send to them. But he, as the God-man, the man, Jesus Christ, would not be with them. So this is one other thing that pulls upon them and is tearing them, causing them fear, causing them sorrow. We can relate to that. Someone tells us, hey, I'm leaving. Even if somebody in this small fellowship of believers here came to us one day and said, hey, I'm leaving and I won't be back. That would cause us great sorrow. Especially depending on the reason that they're leaving. But here Jesus tells his disciples, those whom he loved, those who loved him, I am leaving. I'm going to be absent, and this meal that you're going to be eating time after time and Lord's Day after Lord's Day, I won't be here to eat it with you in this sense. There's also something in this other phrase, this fruit of the vine. This fruit of the vine is the wine he had shared with them. This wine was from the earth, was subject to the corruption of the fall. This wine and this meal were temporary. They are for our time here on earth. They serve as a temporary means to represent God's grace to us in spiritual realities in this age and time. The disciples would continue to observe this meal, and we continue to observe this meal in order to show the Lord's death until he comes. And yes, Jesus is with us by his Spirit, and he is feeding us by his Spirit in this meal. But he, as the God-man, is not eating it or drinking it. This is past for him for now. For now. But remember, we are told to do this. So we keep doing this to show his death until he comes. And until he comes is what Jesus is speaking about and looking forward to. And that is what he wants us to look forward to as well. To his coming. He's gone from this earth. He is at the right hand of the Father. Make no mistake about that. The God-man, Jesus Christ, is not here with us in physical presence. He has a human body right now. He is in one place at one time. He is at the right hand of the Father. But he has sent his Spirit to be with us. So in that sense, he is with us. But in any other sense, he is not. He is gone from the earth, which causes us to remember him in this supper until he comes again. You see, it would not make sense to say, do this in remembrance of me, observe this, and you do show the Lord's death until he comes, if he was here with us as the God-man. But he's not. He's here with us by his Holy Spirit. But Jesus went to stand or sit at the right hand of the Father. And so this meal that we observe today, Jesus is here with us by his Spirit, with those who come to him by faith. He actually was leaving the disciples. He left this earth and he stands at the right hand of God. But there is coming a time, he says, when I will come again. And that's the last part of this verse in verse 29. Jesus was looking forward to that day as he declares that he will be present at the new supper. There is another supper. Jesus said, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. One day this supper that we just had is going to pass away. And one day Jesus Christ will be hosting a new supper, in which all those who by faith come to this supper will be invited to that new supper. All those who by faith have come today will be invited to that table in the future. We often refer to this future supper as the marriage supper of the Lamb from Revelation 19, 7 to 10, or 6 to 10 rather, and it says this, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God." We look forward to that new supper. We look forward to that day when we will sit down with the Lord and all his people just as we do here. And the Lord Jesus Christ will be present and hosting this supper for us. As Jesus was speaking to his disciples, when they represent all those who come to him by faith. When we look at this meal that Jesus had with the disciples, you know, the church is built on the apostles and the prophets and Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. This meal represented what we would do. This meal was pointing to that future new meal in which Christ will host it once again when he comes with his Father's kingdom. Listen to what Isaiah says in Isaiah 25, verses 6 to 9. This is what I referenced in the Lord's Supper that we had earlier this morning. "And in this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of choice pieces, a feast of wine, a feast of wines on the lees, a fat things full of marl, of well-refined wines on the lees. And he will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken, and it will be said in that day, Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation." This is the same kind of language that is found in Revelation 21, verses 1 to 5, if you want to compare it later. But I want to take you back to John 16. And I purposely waited to read the end of that passage with Jesus' conversation with the disciples regarding his absence. Listen to what John continues to write, John 16, verse 19, after they have had their discussion about what does he mean by, in a little while, you will not see me. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, "Are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. and you will be sorrowful. But your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. The time had come for these disciples to experience what Jesus was talking about. And the sorrow of God's disciples, of Christ's disciples, does not end there with those disciples. We suffer the same kind of sorrows today. We suffer the same kind of sorrow because of sin in us and around us and hoisted upon us. But when we see Jesus again, we will be with him in the kingdom of God. And this table that we have come to today involves sorrow of our own sin and tears for our own sin. And joy, for in it we see the body and blood of Christ, which was shed to forgive us of our sins, and in that we have joy. And as you leave here today and you think back upon what we did today, one of the things you should do is to cultivate joy in your heart. Because you have been invited to this table. And Jesus said that even though I won't eat at this table with you from now on, there is coming a day when I will eat with you once again at this new meal in the kingdom of my Father. We will see Jesus again, and it will be a new meal. It will be new wine. It will be well-refined wine, and all things will be new. And we will not be coming, it will be new because we will not be coming with tears and sorrow over our sins, but with joy that we will be with our Savior forever. We will be with the King, eating at the King's table. All these passages like Isaiah 25 and Isaiah 65 and Revelation 21 and others describing this new meal, this new time, are not just talking about sitting at a dinner. I don't know if you've ever seen somebody try to illustrate a picture of the marriage supper of the Lamb. And usually what I see is that there is this table that has multiple chairs, and it just keeps on going forever and ever. And they're trying to portray just how many people will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And it's not a bad portrayal. There are going to be millions and millions of people there. But I think the Bible is speaking to us more than just about the number of people who will be there. The marriage supper of the Lamb is not going to be, well, we show up at a certain time and have a dinner and then go away. The marriage supper of the Lamb is speaking about this fellowship and this union that we have with Jesus Christ and will have forever. Without sorrow, without tears, without sin, and joy abundantly. It's talking about the whole new life. It's talking about this meal that represents all the wonder and glory of heaven, and that Christ is sharing that with us. A new relationship with God where what we face today will not be here. We will not face that. There will be joy, unspeakable joy in our hearts, indescribable joy. So as wonderful as this table is that we have been here today, it is just a part. It is just a small part. Though as great and grand as it is, pointing to a much greater fellowship, a much greater table meal with the Lord Jesus Christ, where we will be drinking new wine, where we will be drinking the finest wines. We have come to the Lord's table today, and let our hearts be full of assurance that we will once again drink with the Lord Jesus Christ in the Father's kingdom. You see, Jesus was saying here, and he says it to us today. If you were here at this table by genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and though you may face sorrow, like he said, like he was pointing out to the disciples, and like they would be scattered, they would be sorrowful, they would be losing hope because of the times that they were in. But Jesus says, I'm coming back. And when I come back, there'll be a new meal. There'll be a new drink, a new wine, and we will be celebrating it forever in the kingdom of God. This is the hope and promise of the new covenant. It is the assurance that we have as those who sit at this table by faith in Christ today will also sit at that table. drinking new wine with Jesus Christ. And the new wine doesn't mean, oh, a new wine, oh, that's what we're going to be doing. The new wine speaks of new blessing. The new wine speaks of God's eternal blessings that will be ours forever, that won't be mingled with our sin. The new wine will be the ultimate blessing of being with God forever and His Son, Jesus Christ. In this announcement to His disciples and to us, He is leading us to the cross. He is leading us to the resurrection. And He is leading us all the way to heaven. Let this supper that we've celebrated today point you there. And fill your heart with joy. Fill you up with joy and hope and assurance. Because Jesus said, I say to you, my disciples, I'm not going to eat this meal anymore, but there is coming a day when I will eat a new meal with you in my Father's kingdom. And so I want to exhort you, as you come away from the table today, yes, you should be reviewing how you prepared. You should be going through that kind of exercise with yourself. Was I really ready to come to the Lord's table? You should be reviewing those things. You should be reviewing how you acted during the Lord's table. But I also want you to be meditating upon what the Lord has done for you at this table, what His actions were, and what His promises are. And His promise is that if you sit at this table by faith, you will sit at the new table and drink the new wine when He comes again. So I exhort you to hold on to that promise. Will you listen and believe that promise? As it was true for His disciples then, it is true for you today. That He's coming back and He'll have a new meal with you in His Father's kingdom. You will be there with Him forever as His family. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do thank You for this announcement that Jesus made to encourage His disciples then and to encourage us now. That though He is not with us here in body, we are thankful, Lord, that You have given to us His Spirit, Your Spirit, to be with us, to teach us, to correct us, and to teach us all the things that Jesus taught us. And Jesus taught us that He was coming back. Jesus taught us that there would be a new meal, and He would sit down with us, indicating that we would be with Him, sharing His glory forever. Lord, help us today as we leave here to have our hearts full of joy, to cultivate that joy, to meditate on what You have done for us, that our joy may increase. Lord, do not let us, we pray, leave here without joy. Your joy. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.